Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
This morning, I want to talk about something that impacts all of us. And I know that some of you watching online, you're right here in Casper, but some of you are in different cities, even different states. If you are watching online, just type in right now where you're watching from, the city, the state, put that in there. What I want to talk about today is something that impacts all of us who live in America. I want to talk about what do we do after the elections. What do we do after the elections? Because right now, there are a whole host of emotions that are prevalent in our society. One of those emotions is uncertainty. There's some fear. What is America going to look like in the next 4 years? There is fear about us losing our freedoms, about us becoming more socialistic. For us in Wyoming, with the energy business, what's that going to look like? How will that impact our economy? There's fear also about COVID as numbers are surging. So there's a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty in our nation, in our community. There's also anger. Anger is another emotion that's prevalent. There was anger before the elections about rioting, protests, racism, about defund the police. There was anger for those who wanted to support the police. Now after the elections, there's anger about possibly massive voter fraud or people saying there's not voter fraud. There's a lot of anger that's taking place. There's also confusion. Confusion during this time. Many prophets before the election were saying President Trump was going to be reelected. Right now, that doesn't look like it's going to happen, and yet some of those prophets are saying it's still going to happen as the fraud begins to uncover it is going to take place. There's just a lot of confusion right now going on in America. And during this time when there's all these emotions, I want you to hear me. I want you to catch this, friends. Now more than ever, America needs us, you and I, followers of Jesus, to be the church, not to echo the culture. More than ever, we need to be the church. We need to be the body of Jesus on this planet. We don't need to echo. We don't need to repeat the uncertainty and the fear. We don't need to repeat the anger and the frustration. We don't need to repeat the what's going to happen, this sense of confusion and bewilderment. We need to be the church of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? What does that mean? This morning, if you're taking notes and if you're following us online, you can go to the YouVersion Bible app, and under the More tab, there is events. If you check events, type in your zip code, you can find events near you, and look for Radius Church. We'll be right there. You can get our sermon notes there. You download them, take your own notes on them. But if you're taking notes this morning, the first thing that we need to focus on, there's going to be three things that we need to focus on. And the first one is confession. We need to focus on confession. A blaming culture needs a confessing church. A blaming culture needs a confessing church. Pastor Kerry Newhoff says that there is a new epidemic in America. It's not COVID, it's anger. Anger is spreading faster than COVID, and all you have to do is look at social media, and it doesn't take long to realize that you get more clicks by posting hate than you do by love. In fact, tech guru Tristan Harris says that the algorithms that Facebook, Google, and other social media agencies use prioritize outrage. They prioritize outrage because the tech and social media companies, they know that nothing spreads faster than outrage. Isn't that sad about our nation? Nothing spreads faster. Nothing gets us more heated up. It's not anything good, not anything about caring, not anything about love. It's outrage, something that makes us upset. And our nation is great at playing the blame game. We are so quick to blame other people for our problems instead of assuming responsibility. for our own problems. We want to assign blame instead of assume responsibility. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen online or I've heard people say or things have been posted about, well, I'm concerned about my kids seeing a political candidate act like this and they're going to become like that. Let me just say something, parents. Your kids are watching you way more than they're watching any political figure today. They're watching you and I. Have you mistreated anyone? Have you been rude to anyone? Black Friday is coming up in just a couple of weeks. And when you're in that store and there's that one item you want and there's only one left and there's five other people going for it, how will you respond? You know, are you going to be rude or are you going to be Christ-like and trust that if God wants you to have it, He'll just miraculously do it for you? What's going to be our reflection in this? How do we treat people? Our kids are watching us, and it's so easy for us to blame our society and the negativism upon everyone else, and yet how much of the negativity do you and I need to own? How much of the anger, the fear, the frustration do you and I carry within us? And we're the ones that we need to look at first. We need to be the church and not echo the culture. In your notes, we need to take our personal sins seriously. We need to take our personal sins seriously. We need to confess them. Christianity, being a follower of Jesus, begins with confession. The Apostle John wrote to the church in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. He said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that. If we confess, God is faithful. It's not maybe He'll forgive you, maybe He'll cleanse you, but it's He will, and it's not just from part of it, but from all of your unrighteousness. No matter how much you've done, no matter what you've done, if we confess our sin, God forgives and cleanses us of our sin. Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. What's interesting is that John wrote this to Christians, not to heathens. You see, even as a follower of Jesus, I need to examine myself to see if there is anything in my life that is ungodly, that is unchristlike, and I need to confess my sin regularly to Christ so that I have a clear conscience, as Paul said, before God and before all people. When I confess my sins as a husband, as a father, as a leader, as a friend, then those people around me can start healing. When I don't confess, that just precipitates hurt. And confession brings healing. Imagine what happened if confession took place 100 times in this building among us. What would happen if confession took place 100,000 times in this city, in this community? What would happen if confession took place 1,000,000 times in our state? What would happen if confession took place 100,000,000 times in America? We would see a radically different nation. If we would just own our sin and confess it, instead of blaming someone else and looking at someone else and finding what they're doing wrong, instead of looking at ourselves. We need to see our sin. We need to own our sin. We need to repent of our sin and to have the Spirit of Christ live in us and change us into the goodness and the glory of God. When the church starts to confess more and accuse less, we will see progress. I'm going to say that again. That's good. That was a good place for an amen, all right? When the church begins to confess more and accuse less, we will see progress. So the first thing we need to do as a church after these elections is to confess our sin, because a blaming culture needs a confessing church. All right, the second thing that we need to focus on is unity. We need to focus on unity. A divided nation needs a united church. In John 17, we see that right before Jesus went to the cross, he prayed this prayer for his church, and he prayed that we would be one. And just a few chapters before that, he was saying to his disciples, I'm giving you a new commandment that you love one another, and catch this, your love will be the mark to everyone that you're my disciple. The mark of you being a follower of Jesus Christ is your love for one another. And yet so many times I have seen Christians be mean-spirited, be gossips, be backbiters. They're undercurrents and they're causing a cancer in their church instead of bringing healing and wholeness and love. And friends, unity in the body is vitally important. In fact, it's so important in Psalm 133, unity is likened to the anointing that was upon the priests. If the priests were not anointed, they could not minister the sacrifices and bring reconciliation between God and men. And I believe what the psalmist is teaching us is that if there is division and fighting among the brothers, we can't be effective in reconciling the lost to Christ. Unity is likened to the anointing. Jesus said, a house divided will not stand. A few weeks ago, we had a business meeting to vote on changing our name. And in our meeting, there were differing opinions. And I can't tell you how thrilled I was at how we responded and treated each other. We were honoring and respectful. There was no raising the voice. There was no yelling. There was no arguing. It was one of the most grace-filled, peaceful business meetings I've ever been a part of. And yet we're dealing with something that was a very emotional topic. And I want to commend you on your attitude. I believe that day we honored God and we honored each other. And that's, and I just want to say thank you. We need to continue to be that. But there are, the enemy wants so much to divide us. He wants to get in and cause there to be infighting, because if we fight among one another and the world looks at that, they're going to say, well, man, I got enough of that in my own family. I have enough of that in my own life. Why would I want to go to church and have that in my, just add to that in my life? So we want to continue to be united and love and care for each other. But this is the important thing. It's not enough just that we all get along and say, hallelujah, and I see a victory, and we go out and have a great day. We need to be united around the mission that Jesus gave us, his body. We have a mission, the great commission Jesus gave us, to win lost people to Christ. Sometimes I have seen Christians spend more energy on politics than pursuing prayer and lost people. And they get so fired up about what's going on in the nation and this and that and the other, but the thought of being a witness and trying to influence their neighbors for Christ really isn't there. This morning, we need to realize, now hear me, I am not saying just get out of culture, don't try to influence politics, don't try to influence the world. Godly laws, I believe, are vitally essential. They make a society stable. They make a society strong. Laws that conflict with God's standards, those are going to hurt a nation. As the writer of Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. But friends, I want us to realize our hope has never been in the White House. Our hope has never been in the State House. It's never been in the courthouse, and it's never been in the schoolhouse. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. That's where our hope is. God doesn't change people. He doesn't reach the lost through politicians or policies. He reaches lost through people, through you and me. That's how God reaches the lost, through you and me, not through Congress, but through Christ-like character, not through our laws, but through our love for people. That's how God wins the world. He uses you and me. Last Sunday in our service, a word was given in worship, and I just want to repeat this word. I want you to catch this because I believe it is a message that we need to hold on to and let it begin to burn and grow within our lives. This is what the Lord said to us last week. I want to challenge you today to fill your shoes in the Great Commission. There is a calling for you to do. Everyone's a little different, but you all have a place to work for me. I want you to be reminded that it's not going to take place by governments. It's not going to take place by committees, by historians, by anyone else. It's going to take place because you hear my voice and you do what I've called you to do. This is not reward day. This is harvest time. Reward day is coming, and I want you to be encouraged that even a drink of water that you give someone in my name will be rewarded. And someday you will see the souls of people you never met here on earth, but you will see those souls that you have helped bring into the kingdom, and we will have a mighty, mighty meeting in heaven because of the souls that have been saved. So be encouraged and step into that place as I have asked you to do. Each of us has a place. Each one of us sitting here, each one of you watching online this morning, we have a place in the Great Commission, and God wants to speak to us, people to talk to, people to call, people to send a note to, someone to share your story, what God is doing in your life. God wants to use you and me to impact lost people. What is our mission as a church? Do you remember our mission? We've only been saying it all year. There's two words. If you remember them, you've got it. They begin with F. And find and follow. Yes, it's there in your notes. Our mission is to help all people find and follow Jesus. We want them to find Jesus. They need to know, taste and see that the Lord is good. They need to experience Him, but it's not just enough to have an encounter. You now need to experience Him and follow Him in every area of your life, in our relationships, in our finances, in our personal character, those areas, the things that we do and say when no one else sees us, when no one else is around. We need to help all people find and follow Jesus. We need to be a radius. We need to influence the radius of our relationships for Jesus Christ. God has called us to be united around the Great Commission, winning people to Him. So that's the second thing that we need to focus on. The first one is what? We need to focus on confession. Second, we need to focus on unity, caring for each other and reaching the lost. The third thing we need to focus on this morning is reflecting Jesus. We need to reflect Jesus because the media and the masses need an alternative, not an echo. They need an alternative, not an echo. Our nation right now is filled with so much anger and frustration, fear and uncertainty, depression and discouragement. The last thing they need right now is for us, the church, to echo those same things. And that's all they hear. They need us to reflect Jesus. We need to counter the anger and the hatred that our culture has with peace and love. And why do we do that? Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and God is love. So if that's what God is like, that's what Jesus is like, then as the body of Jesus, we need to reflect the peace and the love of God. We need to counter the bitterness and pride in the culture with forgiveness and humility. And why do we do that? Because Jesus is forgiving. We read it earlier. If we confess, he's faithful and just and forgives of all sins and doesn't hold anything over our heads, waiting for us to do something wrong so he can drop a brick on us and say, ha, gotcha. No, he's forgiving. And he's humble. He humbled himself and came in the form of a servant. We need to be servants. Serve those around us. How can I serve those at work, those in my school, my neighbors, other people? How can I serve? That's what the world needs to see. We need to counter the depression and the disillusionment the world has with joy and purpose. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come to give you life, and that you might have it in a very discouraging, overwhelming, defeated way. He didn't say that. He said more abundantly. That word means overflowing. It's like if I have this cup of water here, and right now it's about 3/4 full. I just gave the cameraman fits. See, I didn't have this in my notes. I wasn't planning to do this, but it's a great time to do it. Abundantly, it means not just full, but it means overflowing. That's abundant life right there. And yes, you taste and see that the Lord is good. That's the abundant life. My hands are still all wet. That's abundant, man. It's just dripping. It's an overflowing life. I love what Jesus said in John 17:13. Write this down in your notes. This is awesome. I just saw this past week. Jesus prayed for his joy to be fulfilled in us. He prayed for his joy to be fulfilled in us. Am I answering Jesus' prayer? That his joy is being fulfilled in me. Joy is our birthright as a believer. Joy is our possession as a follower of Jesus Christ and the purpose that he gives us. We need to counter the discouragement and the depression with the joy and the purpose we find in the cross of Christ. We are the church. Friends, I want you to realize, as Christians, we have the reason to have the most hope in the nation. Not either political party, but because we worship the sovereign. Sovereign means supreme power and authority, and he is over all. And we have victory in Jesus. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. Whether Donald Trump wins or Joe Biden wins, we always triumph. Yes, amen. Man, I feel like preaching this morning. We need to counter the fear and anxiety. There's a lot of fear and anxiety with faith and confidence. Now, I'm not saying braggadocious and boisterous, I don't have to wear a mask and this kind of. No, because that's not being humble, all right? But we need to have faith and confidence because Jesus is faithful. And Jesus, Proverbs 3:26 says, the Lord is our confidence. So if we have Christ, he's our confidence. We're not anxious. We're not trembling. We're not, oh, I'm so scared. What's going to happen? No, God's got this. God's in control. God's taking care of me. We need to be the church and not echo our culture. We need to give society an alternative to what they're seeing all around them. We need to be grace-filled, hope-bearing, truthful people. That's what our friends, neighbors, co-workers, and classmates need to see right now. We have a generation that's tired of hate, but they're caught in its grip, and we need to help them overcome that. And friends, you don't overcome hate with hate. You overcome hate with hope. We are the hope of the world. The local church is the hope of the world because Jesus is our hope, and we reflect that hope to society all around us. There's not hope in a candidate. There's not hope in a political party. There's not hope in a Supreme Court majority. There's not hope in any certain policy, but there is hope in Jesus, and we have Jesus, so we have hope. He transcends the world. He transcends the culture. So reflect Jesus. Can you imagine what would happen in the next few months if love surged through our church, through every church that called themselves followers of Jesus? What would happen if hope got fueled and not hate? If we could disagree but agree to be disagreeable and not angry and nasty? What would happen if the church would serve people instead of centering on itself? If we focused on Jesus and not on our problems and our fears and concerns? If we are people of hope, we can help instead of hurt and bring healing to America. Friends, no one's going to bring healing to America except Jesus Christ, because healing is only found in true righteousness and true justice. I want to wrap things up this morning with an illustration. I have a mirror here, and this mirror gives a great reflection. I can look in the mirror and I can see what, oh man, I got a hair out of place there, yeah. But the mirror gives a great reflection, and this mirror represents you and me. It represents each and every one of us. Each and every one of us are a mirror this morning, okay? Now, our job is to reflect Jesus Christ. As the body of Christ, we are to reflect Christ. But what happens sometimes is that something happens and we let fear hit our life. We let anxiety hit our life. We get angry about something and frustrated, or maybe there's some confusion. We get discouraged. We are just kind of get depressed. And at first glance, it doesn't really do much to us. But what happens if we don't give these, and these things will happen to us, all right? I'm not saying, no, you're never going to have it. No, when these things happen to us, we need to immediately give them to Jesus. Because if we don't, these things sit there, and they just don't sit there, but they begin to get kind of settled into our life, and they begin to kind of spread and bleed into other areas. And before long, they kind of even get into each other. And what was a small little area, we begin to think about it and worry about it and we pray about it and we allow more things to hit us, and it just keeps getting messier. And you see what's happening is we allow these little things to attack our life. Now when we look in there, you really don't see that reflection. I mean, you can see parts. I see part of my face, but I really can't see all of my face. And this is what the devil wants to do to us. The devil wants us to get encumbered by anxiety, by fear, by anger, by frustration, by confusion, by doubts. And he wants to blur the image so that you and I don't have an accurate reflection of Jesus. This morning, we need to say, God, I am not going to be like this. I want you to give me a clean slate. I want you to wipe me off. Forgive me of my sin, because sin adds to that. God, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Wash away my fear. Wash away my angerness, my bitterness, my pride. Wash away my discouragement and my sense of complacency. Why do we even try? God wants you and I to be his body, his church, his called out ones. We've been called out of darkness into an abundant life, into a joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's a joy the world didn't give you, and the world can't take it away. It's a peace. It's a hope. It's a call to walk in a newness of life, not in the oldness of our culture. We have so much as the church. And Jesus wants us to be the church and not echo what's going on around us. Join me this morning. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us to reflect you. God, help us to show the love, the holiness, and the healing of God to our lost and broken world after these elections. Our world needs you, and they need us to reveal you. Maybe you're here this morning, you're seated in this auditorium, or you're watching online, and you realize that there is some things that you need to confess. We talked about earlier that each of us needs to own our personal sin, and we need to confess it. Right now, is there anything the Holy Spirit is speaking to you? You say, Craig, how do I know if the Holy Spirit is speaking? It's simple. There are thoughts going to be coming to your mind, a lie you've told, how you've mistreated somebody, something you've done, and you're just going to realize, oh, I did that. That's the Holy Spirit. He is convicting you. The Bible says he comes into the world, the Holy Spirit does, to convict us of sin, of what's wrong. He might be convicting you of righteousness. That's what's right, and there's some right things that you've stopped doing. Maybe you've stopped praying. You've stopped attending church. You've stopped trying to be a witness for others because you're just so beaten down and discouraged yourself. If there's something that has come to mind, I want you right now just to raise your hand. As a sign, God, I'm lifting it up to you. If there's any sin, anything God is revealing to you, just lift up your hand right now, and I want you to begin to confess that to God. God, forgive me for immorality. God, forgive me for lying. Forgive me for anger. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, just cleanse us this morning. God, just make us whole. There may be some of you here today, or maybe someone watching online, and you're not a follower of Jesus. You're not a Christian. You haven't surrendered yourself to Christ to say, how do I be a Christian? Well, it's all in confessing. Two things to confess. One is our sin. We read that in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, we need to confess our sin. We realize that we have done wrong. And we realize also that we can't work our way to heaven, because if I could do enough good to counterbalance my sin, and there was no need for Jesus to die on the cross for my sin. So I confess my sin, and I confess that Jesus died for me. But the second thing is I need to confess Jesus as Lord. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, he said that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That term, Lord, is a Bible term that means leader. It means boss. So I need to put Jesus in charge of my life. And if you're listening this morning or you're watching and you'd say, I've never done that. I've never put Jesus as my leader. He's not my sovereign. I've been the supreme authority. I've been the one calling the shots in my life. If you need to ask God to forgive you, and you need to say, Jesus, I need you to be my leader. I need to begin following you instead of being the boss in my life. I'd like you to raise your hand this morning. Anyone here today, if you're watching online and that's you, just go ahead and raise your hand to God. We're going to pray together in just a moment, asking Jesus to take charge of our lives. Moving on, there's some of us today, as we look at our lives, we realize, man, my mirror has some blurriness to it. There's some things that in my life that I've allowed to distort the reflection of Jesus. Maybe it's frustration, fear, anger, depression, discouragement. I don't know what it is, but if that's you this morning and you're not reflecting Jesus, or maybe you're just caught up in your problems, you're caught up in busyness, and you haven't been focusing on the Great Commission, being that reflection, being that witness, and you'd say, God, I need you to cleanse me. I need you to rearrange my priorities. Help me to see the responsibility you've given me to reflect you to the world. How many would say, I need to be a better reflection? I need God to cleanse me of some things. I need a greater priority in my life to be involved as a witness to reach the lost. Just lift your hand this morning. There's many of us today. I want to pray today, and I'd like each of us, even those watching online, I'd like you to repeat this prayer after me. Take the parts that apply to your life. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I have sinned. I'm sorry for what I've done. Cleanse me of wrong. I receive your forgiveness and receive your leadership. Thank you for your death. Help me to follow you. Forgive me for allowing things to blur my reflection of you. Help me show others your love, your hope, your healing, and your salvation. Use me to bring wholeness and help to those around me. Thank you, Jesus, for sticking with me through all my problems. I give them all to you. I trust you. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.